Hello, welcome to the ADHD in Isolation podcast. With me is a young man who I liked as soon as I met him. We knew each other at a school where I was working, and he impressed me straight away with his kind of honesty and his ability to look inside himself, and just seemed like a smart kid at the time. He's really a young adult, or even adult now. So welcome, Neil.
Hi.
So how are you doing? How's lockdown going?
Fine. Not really much happening.
Right. Okay. Yeah. How are you passing the time?
Just playing games, watching movies, you know. Not really much.
Well, go on then. What games?
I'm just playing GTA quite a lot.
Right. Yeah, I used to play that when I was younger. That's a banger of a game.
Yeah. I just wasted tons of money on it because I'm an idiot.
Wait, is this you? Wait, you can buy extra content for it, right?
Yeah, and I did that, and I shouldn't have done that.
Right. Okay. What was that, off your mum's card or something?
No, it was off my card. I had money to spend, so I just thought I would, and then I kept doing it.
Right. Okay.
So
just couldn't fight the impulse.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Money. I paid for money with money. It's very dumb.
You paid for pixelated money with real money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never said I was the smartest man.
No, I do totally get it. It seems kind of dumb when you say it like that, but I do get it, because it just makes the game so much more fun. And
yeah,
but it's so easy to just spend loads of money. I know people do that with Fortnite and stuff, right? With buying skins and that sort of thing. Right. Well, actually, first of all, what about other stuff? How's sleep going? You know, general well-being going.
Sleep's average. I fell asleep around about 4 last night.
Right. You know something? I was actually pretty much the same last night, so I'm not going to lecture you.
Good.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough to get into a sleep pattern, isn't it?
Yeah.
During the lockdown. There's just nothing, at least with when you're going to school, you've got, getting ready for the tax. You've got some kind of structure, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have that, and when it's got to be you getting yourself up, and it's not easy. It's not easy for an adult, I mean, you're basically an adult, but you know what I mean? It's not easy for a 40-year-old adult, let alone, you're 17, right? 18?
17.
When are you 18?
January.
Ah, so we should be out of this by the time you're...
I'll be able to, hopefully the pubs will be open.
Yeah.
Because if those are closed, that's just going to suck.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to letting loose on your 18th?
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. I'll probably come into school hangover several times. I can just already see it. Just go into school and be oh, don't talk to me. If you've got mass work thing, sick.
Yeah. Drinking a Lucozade or whatever it is you're meant to drink for a hangover.
Yeah.
What? So I guess that will mean you'll be leaving the school next summer. Is that the plan, or do you not know yet?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess everything's been kind of thrown into disarray with this coronavirus, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's say that's what happens. Are you going to go to college, do some music or art or something? Well, acting, right? That was your thing that you were into.
Yeah.
Last time I spoke to you,
I haven't really thought about what I'm going to do afterwards yet. I probably should.
Well, I'll tell you something. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I mean, I'm sure you've heard lots of adults say this, right? A lot of us still kind of don't really know what we want to do.
Mm.
We just sort of find our way into something that we can tolerate or enjoy, you know?
Yeah.
Often you find yourself, in the dream job by accident. So it's not really worth stressing too much about, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of this kind of wise old Gandhi guidance. Right. From your perspective, when someone mentions ADHD, what are the first things you think about?
Just something I have. Just kind of oh, I have that.
Right. Okay. Are you just kind of totally at peace with that and just, well, it is what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't really change it. It's a bit late for that.
Yeah. 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 What do you understand ADHD to mean?
Pretty sure it just means like struggling to like concentrate on things and focusing on stuff. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's basically a neurodevelopmental disorder, which just means your brain develops slightly differently from some other people's brains, which means some things are easier, like creativity, for instance, and some things are harder, right? How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I think I was 6.
Right. So you never really...
The young age.
Yeah, you never really had a time in your life where it was like... For a lot of kids, I think they'll have a period in their life where they're having lots of difficulties and they don't really know why.
I kind of did have that because I was really, like, when I was younger, all my family kind of just thought I was, like, a bad behaved kid, you know what I mean? Like, I was kind of like Bart Simpson kind of thing. I was always, like, around doing something, annoying people and getting in trouble and then not caring that I got in trouble and just kept doing it and stuff. And I always had energy and, yeah, I think either I was bad or something wrong with me, so they got it checked.
And... So a mix between Bart Simpson and Dennis the Menace, then.
Yeah.
do you remember any specific things that happened that you could use as an example, like from a really young age?
Not really. My memory is like shockingly bad. It's like I'm like a 70-year-old man with my memory. Like I would just kind of do stupid stuff, really. I think I just, you know,
just
really
do stuff. Okay, well, here I'll give you an example of when I was younger, right? And this may or may not be able to relate to that. So, when I was in primary school, there was this girl there who, I don't know why, she just kind of wound me up for just being her, I guess. Just something about, you know, just clash of personalities. And I think I was about maybe 7 or 8. And one time I was walking back from school and I saw her driving past. And without thinking about it, I just picked up a bunch of mud and threw it at the car. And I wasn't a particularly violent kid or anything, but it was just like one of those things where I did it. And then I had that moment of, what did I just do? Total kind of impulse thing where just you didn't even really think, your just brain told you to do something.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really stop it. And it felt like someone else was at the wheel. So did you have moments like that, you know, where it was like you did something and then you were like, why did I do that?
I think most of mine were just like you know, like attacking my sister when I was younger. Right. We used to share a room, so like obviously brother and sisters always fight. So I remember like out in like the back of the flowers, and like I picked up like a piece of like stick and I just ran and chased her with it. Like, and I don't know why. And she's like a much faster than me, so like there was no chance of me getting her anyway. But like, I was just chasing her, and then I dropped the stick and had to stick some nails on it, and it caught my stomach, and I've still got a scar from there. So I'm like,
oh wow,
yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, that's when I tried to kill my sister for no reason.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's another thing with ADHD, right? Is that certainly when you're younger, you struggle to control your emotions.
Yeah.
It's just so easy for them to get the better of you. Is that your younger sister?
No, older.
Older sister. Is it just you've just got one sibling?
2.
An older and a younger, or 2 older, or what?
I've got an older sister and a younger brother.
And your younger brother, right? Okay. So how old are they?
My brother is 7.
Right. Okay. So a fair bit younger.
Yeah, and my sister's 19.
Right. Okay. Is she still in the house, or has she moved out?
She's still in the house.
Right. Okay. Is it pretty claustrophobic with the lockdown? Or are you just keeping to yourself?
I just stay in my room, like, all the time.
Right. Have you at least got plenty to do in there?
Yeah, I've got a TV and, you know, my PS4 and stuff.
Okay, yeah. And you've got your guitars, right?
Yeah, I've got, and, like, a desk and things, you know, some random stuff on it. Yeah.
How are you finding the whole homeschooling thing? What are some of the kind of more difficult parts of it?
I mean, the fact that I don't really do it.
Right.
I talk to them, but I don't really do the work.
Why? Why don't you do it?
I don't really, I think it's just not motivation to do it, because It's like, no one's going to really stop me if I don't do it. I'm just in my room.
Yeah, no, I'm not judging. I'm more just thinking that there'll probably be, you know, thousands of other people out there in your situation, and it'd be good to have someone say how it might be difficult, because then maybe people can work out ways of sorting it, or maybe it's something that can't be sorted. You know, I know that for some kids, home is home and school is school.
Yeah, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to combine the two. For others, it's a lot to do with, yeah, other kinds of motivation. And what, out of interest, because I spoke in the other podcast with my dad about how what's funny about some kids with ADHD is that sometimes they respond really well to the kind of teachers you would never think. So there's this thing about like how we should be really accommodating to kids with, you know, different kinds of needs and whatever. I know from my experience when I was at school, I responded quite well to the quite old, some of the quite old school scary teachers, you know, and not as well to some of the more kind of fluffy, soft teachers. What's your experience? What's teaching style do you prefer?
I prefer just like when the teacher just acts normal, you know, like not like a formal or not. I feel like most teachers, they kind of like betray, like it's like they're acting as a teacher most of the time. You know what I mean?
Right. You just want them to be themselves, to be normal people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just I like, suppose that would fit, because you're quite genuine yourself, aren't you, really? So you've probably not got a lot of time for people putting an act on.
Bores me.
It bores you. Yeah. What do you mean by that, though, like about teachers kind of...
I don't know. It's just like, you know, like they always try to like be proper and like thing. And I'm like, I know you're fun. So why are you not fun?
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like I'm talking about my old teachers, like back in my other schools. It's like, you know, what, come on, liven up a bit.
Sure. What do you think it was that wasn't working for you before you kind of got a more specialist education? Why was mainstream not working for you?
Well, to be honest, I didn't actually like stop going to mainstream school because of ADHD. I stopped going because of like anxiety reasons.
Okay, but the two are very strongly associated.
Yeah.
What do you mean by anxiety?
Well, I just slowly stopped going to school because for some reason I would just walk into the building and feel sick and panicked and stuff, and I'd just have to like leave straight away.
Just heart beating really fast.
Yeah.
Clammy hands, all the rest of it.
Yeah, I just had to get out of the building. As soon as I went into the school grounds, I felt it. It's weird.
You know, did you have really bad experiences at school? Or was it just, you know, was it?
Nope, really.
It was just the whole, was it maybe the transition between home and school?
I don't know, because like the weird thing is I was at that school for like 3 years at this point. So like I was already like, you know, I was settled in, I was fine. I had my little friends and like group thing and all that, but for some reason I just went in and then couldn't do it.
And was that quite immediate? Did that sort of come from nowhere, or was it a slow build-up?
I mean, my attendance was always kind of bad at that school. Like, you know how you get in trouble if you go, like, to 80 or something? Like, once the panic attack started, my attendance, like, was way below, like, 50.
Right.
Like, I, like, spent a long time out.
And I guess probably the less you attend, the more nervous attending makes you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got less exposure. So how long ago was that?
Oh, I mean, it would have been a long time ago, because I stopped going to school and kind of like shut myself in my house for like a year or two or something. And then I went to Burton.
Right.
So like it was before that.
Okay, and what's changed now? How have you found ways to cope with your anxiety?
People always ask me that. I can always just kind of I just say I just do it. I just carry on. I don't really have any techniques or anything. I just kind of jump in. I kind of like force myself to have no impulse control or whatever. I kind of just do it.
You start to trust your impulses more. Okay. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's like almost like the thing that used to get you, that used to cause you issues is kind of the thing in a way that's a way of coping.
Yeah.
And so you say that you just do it. What motivates you to do it? Because I can't imagine sometimes it's never nice feeling anxious. It's a horrible, horrible feeling that a lot of people can relate to. But you're saying that you just keep going. And what motivates you to keep going and putting yourself into situations that might make you anxious?
Well, because, like I said, I spent so long just locked myself in my room for literal like months, years, and I missed out on so much stuff. And even before that, I was always like a nervous kid anyway. So I kind of just, like, I think it was around about last year, the start of the last year, I was like, I just want to do things and actually have the memories of it instead of being like, you know, like, what did you do when you were younger? Oh, Billy, I was in my room all the time. That was fun.
That was edging on Billy Connolly there. That's perfectly fair. You know, it's kind of the fear of missing out, right?
It's like last year, I've got like quite strong separation anxiety, and I just wanted to stretch the limits with that. So I just said, "Can I go to Spain?" Just me and my sister. We went to Spain and visited my granny. And I've got the separation anxiety from like my mum, so like I left her for a whole week, or was it 2 weeks or something? And literally just me and my sister went to the airport, went on plane, got over there, did all that, and came back. And I didn't get nervous all the time.
I think there's, I think that's almost. I mean, I might be wrong here, and I'm sure I'll be corrected if I am. But I think that's called exposure therapy, where you like expose yourself to the thing that you fear the most.
Oh yeah, I was also scared of planes at this time as well.
Right, okay. Are you okay with that stuff now?
Yeah, I've not been on them that often, but, you know, they're fine. Yeah.
Where would you like to travel? If someone just said, you know, everything will be taken care of, you don't have to worry about all the nasty bits about traveling and the nerve-wracking bits about traveling, which places would you really like to go and see?
Venice looks cool. Is that the bit with all the water?
Yeah, I went to Venice last year.
That looks cool.
Venice is amazing.
I would have to fight the temptation just to push people in.
Right, yeah.
Because I would just go in with it. Boop.
That is a very understandable human temptation to push someone into a canal. Yeah,
it'd be funny.
Yeah.
Splash.
It's a magical place. It's just... It seems like, I don't know if you ever watched things like those Studio Ghibli films, or, you know, the animated kind of fantasy type places. That's what Venice feels like. It's just too beautiful to possibly be real. Yeah. Okay. What about anywhere else?
Greece. Because, like, ever since I was a kid, I've been obsessed with, like, ancient Greece stuff. Mm-hmm. And that would just be awesome to go and actually look at where that all originated from, like go to Athens or something, and that'd be cool.
Did you ever watch that Disney movie, the Hercules movie?
Of course I did.
What a banger of a movie that is. No, ancient Greece. Again, I've never been to Greece. Greece would be class. So very historical places. I assumed, because I thought that you were quite into kind of like drawing kind of anime and that sort of thing, that you might want to go to Japan.
No, I don't like anime.
Do you not? Do you not?
No.
Oh, it must just be a... Sorry, mate.
No, I'm like the... Yeah, I don't know. I can't get my head around that.
Yeah, it's kind of slightly mysterious to me as well, anime.
Yeah, like, why?
If you could go on holiday to return to the theme, who do you think you'd go with, or not by yourself?
I don't know. I'll probably just take a group of mates or something. It'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Do you think that now that you've got past, well, that you're kind of in the mindset of wanting to make up for lost time, do you feel like that's going to stay with you, you know, and that you're going to really have a passion for doing things your whole life?
Hopefully. I do want to travel more when I'm older. That would be cool.
It's not just traveling, though, is it? It's I don't know, it's just doing different things, isn't it? It's and being around different kinds of people and just being in kind of unexpected situations, right? I mean, I know that travel is good for those things, but you can do lots of those things in Scotland. Have you ever been camping, for instance?
No, never been camping.
You'd love camping. People are a bit like, oh, I would miss all the comforts and everything. Camping's such a good thing to do with your friends, especially when you're a bit younger and whatever, and you just get, you've got freedom and you know, it's just, yeah. it's amazing just waking up in the outdoors. And you know, you've got a fire, and maybe when you're 18, you can have some beers and stuff, and it's good. It's an experience I would really recommend. Hopefully when the lockdown stops, you can maybe think about that with some of your mates.
Yeah.
Are you okay for time? I'm not taking up too much of your time, am I?
No, not at all.
Okay. And this is okay. This isn't too kind of nerve-wracking or whatever for you?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Well, I wanted to ask then, what did you think when you were first diagnosed? I suppose there wasn't maybe a lot of thinking going on when you're a six-year-old. But how did you, can you kind of explain the coming to terms with having a diagnosis? Apologies for rambling a little bit, but I'll kind of explain why to the listeners why I'm asking that question. And that is that, I think that even for an adult, suddenly being told that you are something with a label, with an ADHD or an autism or something, is actually quite a difficult thing to wrap your head around. And so I think that for a child, that can often be quite complicated. I know, for instance, that I was quite embarrassed about having ADHD when I was younger. I'm not embarrassed in the least now, but I was embarrassed when I was younger. And yet you say it's just something I have, and that's absolutely right. But was that always the case? Did you always think like that?
I mean, I think I never really got too bummed out about it. Like, you know, obviously sometimes you have that, like, oh, why am I different? But then, you know, that's also just a teenager thing. Yeah. So,
did you ever have that urge to, sorry to cut in, but did you ever have that urge to be like other people?
Yes and no, because it'd be easier to fit in, but then it'd be boring.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like, the normal people out there are kind of boring.
They call them normies on the internet, right?
Yeah, they're just, you know.
Describe a normie to me.
Just someone who, I don't know, they're just very predictable.
Right.
Extremely predictable, and they just follow the book, and they just do it, and I'm like, what if you did it that way? I just look at you like, what, crazy man?
Right, the people that are kind of in the very much in the mainstream, doing the same things as everyone else, kind of thing.
Mm. Yep.
I think sometimes that people that you think are like that can sometimes really surprise you. So there have been times where I kind of prejudged someone. Maybe because of the way they dressed or whatever, to be kind of a normie. And sometimes they've really surprised me. So there was one couple I met on holiday that really seemed like that. And you know, I think you know kind of what I mean. And they turned out to be really interesting people that had went really into like ancient history and all sorts of just very interesting, funny, smart people. But yeah, I know what you mean. You think of it as someone almost sacrificing their personality to fit in with the crowd, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that you certainly don't appear to have done. You're someone who maybe is quite comfortable, but you're someone that's maybe quite comfortable being on the margins. Is that fair? That's not to say that you're not popular and whatever, but just someone who's doesn't try to be like other people.
I just try to do what I want. You know what I mean? Like, I just do what feels right at that time. I just do, you know, whatever I want. I'm not really embarrassed. Like, I've never been embarrassed of the ADHD stuff. Mainly, like, at school, you'd probably, like, think, oh, like, why? You'd probably get, like, embarrassed about it. But I'm like, no, I get to leave class 5 minutes early. Like, get up, you. You know what I mean?
Get up, like, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, man. Like, you're jealous. Like, I, you know, there's perks. And you just got to, like, live with the perks, man.
Right, and what about some of the perks other than being able to leave a class early? What do you think that having a brain like yours, what are some of the positives with having a brain like yours?
I mean, well, there's the material stuff. So, like, I got a bus pass when I was younger, which made life so much easier. I got a laptop a couple of years ago to help me with, like, focusing and all that stuff, which is awesome. Like, got that for free.
Nice.
And then obviously there's just, like, the good things about, like, being creative. Like, I think I'm pretty creative. So,
well, for the audience who won't obviously know you, Neil is kind of a renaissance man in his own right, really, in terms of you draw, don't you? You write, you play music, and you are interested in acting and films. So it's really the full spectrum of creativity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it difficult to be... So it's probably... Okay. I'll kind of start that again because it's kind of a difficult question to ask. So ADHD can help you to be creative, partly, I think, because your brain zips off all over the place. So rather than focusing on a single thing necessarily or for a long period of time, you might be sort of zipping around several different things, perhaps while someone's giving you a specific task to do, which can be a problem. But in your own space, that can be really beneficial, right? Because then you're thinking about new things and you're thinking, you've got a bit of imagination. But it can sometimes be quite difficult to go from having lots of good ideas to making something out of them, can't it?
Yeah.
Can you describe why?
I mean, like, once I start something, I get bored of it. So then it becomes unfinished. Yeah, I mean, like, I've got so many, like, drawings that would probably be really good if I put more effort into it, but I just don't. Or I rush things. Like, most of my scripts I write, they're done in an hour. You know what I mean? I don't put time into it because I don't know why. I just, if I put too much time into something, I feel like I'm going to get sidetracked. You know what I mean?
I think that, honestly, that there's nothing wrong with actually not finishing stuff certainly at your stage in life, because it is all practice. It's a process that you've got to go through, especially if you have ADHD, but actually just generally for people, I think. You can't start with the finished product, can you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite creative medium right now?
I don't know, I like to combine most of my stuff. So, like, you said I write and do movie things, act and all that. I kind of try to put them together, or, like, I use my drawing to use, like, concept art for a movie I'm thinking about making or something, or, like, I use the music to put the music inside the movie or story I'm writing, or, you know what I mean? Like, I do that. I try and make sure they all fit in.
Okay. Yeah, seems reasonable. So you kind of try to do a multimedia type thing, which allows you to, I guess what doing a multimedia project allows you to do is change things up every once in a while. So it keeps things a little bit fresh, right?
Mm.
So, you know, you can do a bit of writing and then you can do a bit of drawing and whatever. I think that's a really good way to work. And I guess it allows you to practice all your talents at once, right?
Yeah.
Or several of them at once. I'm going to ask, I'm going to go slightly off topic now. Are there any things that you wished education staff, other professionals, and even other parents understood about ADHD? And actually, you can include anxiety and even depression in that as well. What are the things that you wished people understood about your kind of a brain?
I think the most important thing is most likely is you can't you can't learn about it in a book. Like, I feel like the best way to learn about ADHD is to talk to someone with ADHD, because I feel like even just a conversation not about ADHD, you're going to pick most of it up. You're going to, like, notice what we do and understand us just having conversations with us, I think.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why I'm doing this podcast, right? A lot of the time people either get given a leaflet or, if they're lucky, pointed towards a video. But sometimes the best way is to hear people speak, right? And to speak to people yourselves. You just miss the little things, don't you?
Yeah.
You miss the little things. You see the symptoms or you see some of the strategies or whatever, but you miss the little details about what it is that works and what it is that doesn't work. And
yeah, there's no rules to us. There's no like one thing works for everyone with ADHD. We're all different. You gotta like work around the person with the ADHD. If you're a teacher kind of thing, get to know the person first and then work the plan or something around them, because I feel like that's probably work better.
My dad in his last podcast talked about how when he worked at schools, one thing that he was really worried about was you know how sometimes you've just got to, you know, discipline, right? There has to be some discipline for certain kinds of behaviors. And one thing that he was concerned about was that teachers or even parents were sometimes, as a result of a child's difficult behaviors, were then saying, right, well, you can't do this, the thing that they know that the child likes doing. You know, that's I guess you can see their thinking, right, that might be a deterrent. And his concern was that actually that if you remove the thing that they like doing, then that can cause all sorts of other problems, you know, because often people with ADHD are struggling with confidence and maybe don't think they're very good at anything. And maybe the one thing that they're good at, the one thing that allows them to switch off and be happy and not get lots of negative feedback, is the one thing you're taking away. So I guess my long and drawn out question to you is, where would you be if you didn't have your drawing and your music and your film and your writing?
I can't even think about that. Basically who I am at this point.
If someone prevented you doing that?
I wouldn't be the same. I wouldn't be happy, like, ever. I'd basically just be like a chronic state of depression walking around. I would literally be the embodiment of Scrooge walking around, hating everyone, hating everything.
It would just take the colour out of the world for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you wish that people your age understood about ADHD and your brain generally?
Well, because we have ADHD doesn't mean we're dumb. I mean, some of us are, like, to be fair, but, you know.
No more than the general population.
Yeah. I mean, like, I not about me, but like, I know people with ADHD who are probably, like, a lot smarter than any like normal person I've met, because they're probably like trying to compensate for people thinking that they're dumb, but they're not.
But I bet you a lot of them don't do particularly well in school despite being smart. Which is quite sad in its own way, isn't it? But then maybe it was never meant to be in school, and maybe they need to find another path. Who knows?
Yeah.
I guess it comes down to the individual again, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I asked you about some of your personal ambitions. I certainly asked you where you would like to travel. And I kind of asked you a little bit about what kind of job you'd want to do. And quite reasonably, you said you didn't know. I think I have a better one for you, which is transport yourself 60 years down the line. What would you like to be remembered for? And it doesn't have to, and to define the question, it doesn't have to be like a career thing. It doesn't have to be like having done this or that. It couldn't be who you were as a person. You know, it could be being remembered for being kind or funny or that sort of thing.
I kind of just want to be remembered for like, to like, I want to be remembered as the guy, like, reminding people that, like, there's colour, you know what I mean? Like, it's not all just black, white, and darkness. There's, you know, it's, it can be bright, happy, colourful, you know?
You wanna lift people up?
Yeah, unless they're really heavy, then I'm not doing it. I don't want to hurt my back.
That's a noble ambition. It's a noble ambition. I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna let you go because soon, because I want you to be able to have an evening. But I wanted to ask finally to round this off. What do you think ADHD brings to the world? What do you think the world would miss if there was no ADHD?
I think ADHD just kind of gives a new perspective. Like it's another hand helping. Like another angle.
A different perspective on things.
Yeah.
Keeping things fresh. Well, perfect. Thank you very much. Did you enjoy that? Was that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. What are you going to do with your evening?
Probably just talk to my friends.
Right. Okay. And just have a little game and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Don't buy any more GTA stuff for now.
Oh, I'm not. Never. No.
Just give yourself...
No.
Just give yourself a break. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, take it easy, Neil.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.